From the Financial Times in New York, I'm Alistair Gray, and this is FT News. Big news from the world of online lending this week. One of the most high-profile names in the industry has resigned suddenly. Renaud Laplanche was the founder of Lending Club. He's standing aside as chairman and chief executive. The company warned of a so-called lapse in business practices, and the shares have tanked. Joining me now to discuss the developments is Ben McClanahan, the FT's US banking editor. Ben, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
So what do we know about what's happened?
Well, it's all very mysterious. The market was expecting pretty downbeat earnings this morning from Lending Club. They were primed for a slowing of originations and so on. And we got all that. And in fact, the figures were more or less okay, probably better than expectations. But it was completely overshadowed, as you say, by this shock announcement that Renaud Laplanche, the founder, chairman, and chief exec, since 2007, he steered the ship very, very capably through some choppy waters. I mean, he's a keen sailor, so that's why I'm using this rather laboured metaphor. But anyway, he's done a very good job. He's been a figurehead for this fast-growing industry. He's countered lots of the scepticism that's been emerging about the sustainability of the business model he's built. But now he's gone. And still, we've got a three-page statement from Lending Club and not much else to go on. The basic allegation, it has to be an allegation until he speaks, is that he was essentially playing fast and loose with disclosures on a package of loans that was bought by Jefferies. They haven't named the buyer, but I know it is Jefferies. And Jefferies had a long-term supply deal with Lending Club to buy X amount of loans in an X category. And apparently, Mr. Laplanche, perhaps to meet the first quarter guidance, shuffled some loans from pot A to pot B when he shouldn't have done.
And was he involved in this lapse, or is he going just because he's carrying a can for something that's happened on his watch?
Yeah, again, I wish I'd had his side of the story before sounding off, but he's gone, so that implies some culpability, even if he directly didn't give the order himself. People underneath him did. And just reading the way the statement's worded, it does appear that he does share some portion of the blame. Some people I've spoken to today are delighted that that Lending Club, despite the reputation for living by the seat of its pants, has a sort of strong culture of corporate governance. So they picked up this internal issue, and they've taken pretty drastic action, which is to boot out the founder.
And why haven't they told people a bit more about what's going on?
That's a good question. I expect that more will emerge in coming days. I've tried ringing around board members this morning. The operation is a complete lockdown, and not even the head of PR is picking up the phone. That's how drastic things have got over there.
Well, I mean, the shares have lost about a quarter, more than a quarter of their value. I guess it's obvious, but why are investors so concerned about this?
Well, investors have been concerned about the business model, as I've said, for a long time, especially given that our credit markets now are more difficult. If you're packaging up assets and selling them into credit markets, it's a tough business, especially if you haven't been through the credit cycle like Lending Club has. I mean, it was founded in 2007, so you could say it's seen something of a downturn. But as far as investors are concerned, as they're looking to build their exposures into this new asset class, this is still an untested model. So the shares, have been falling rapidly since the IPO at $15. That they haven't even come close. They started to fall last summer when some of the lockups expired and investors were allowed to sell. And since then, they've been very, very weak. And since January and February, when credit markets really got nasty, that they've been on a steadily downward trend.
And help us understand a bit about the background to the industry. I mean, there's been a lot of hype, hasn't there, about these platforms, alternative lending. How much success are they actually having? I mean, how worried should the banks be?
Well, I think qualified success for now. There's lots of comparisons made with Uber and Amazon, for example, but they haven't demolished the taxi industry like Uber has, or the book retailing business like Amazon has. I think eventually that they could make a much bigger impression. Of course, all the investment banks come out with big forecasts, very big numbers for the percentage of personal loans in particular that these guys account for. But I think if you look back over 2015 in the personal loans category, altogether these online lenders accounted for a quarter of new originations, which is pretty good going after 3 or 4 years of pretty rapid growth. And there are other categories like auto loans, like student loans. SoFi has done particularly well there. There are other categories that banks are just they find it difficult to compete in now for various reasons, for capital reasons, for regulation reasons. And that is where the online lenders have the advantage.
They're still smallish, but very fast growing, it sounds like. And so what does this episode tell us, if anything, about this world of alternative lending?
Well, I think if you speak to any other online lender today, they'll say it tells you nothing at all. this is a very particular problem, unique to LendingClub. And I think LendingClub has also made that argument today. This was essentially a one-off. The chief executive apparently was acting in a sort of imperious fashion.
But there are high, as you mentioned, the sort of high expectations, perhaps, that apparently they felt had to be met. That applies across the sector, no?
Yeah, well, there are lots of imperial chief execs at other online lenders too, and not least Mike Cagney at SoFi, who really runs that shop. He's identified as the leader, and what he says goes. But I don't think we can extrapolate, you know, these particular set of problems for LendingClub more broadly. At least that's what the online lenders will have you believe. And I think the governance argument that LendingClub is making today is sensible. That they've basically accepted that, yes, the growth was very, very rapid, and perhaps, yes, we did drop the ball, but now we've got an executive chairman, so there's a split between that chairman and chief exec. There's a relatively novice chief exec now.
And who's taking over?
It's a guy called Scott Sanborn, who used to be the chief marketing officer. I think he was also president, but he's now in an acting chief exec role, and I'm not sure if he's the long-term replacement for Renaud Laplanche, but he's a decent stand-in.
And so finally, so what are the big unanswered questions then that the shares are to recover have to be addressed?
There's all sorts. I think we need a proper account of what happened on the Thursday and the Friday of last week as these problems emerged. I will do some more reporting, see if I can find out. I suppose that the governance structure that now LendingClub has settled on is a more solid one, at least on paper. It would appear to remove a little bit of power from the chief executive. Let's see if the shares recover. I've got a sense that there won't be a massive rebound for now, as long as these funding problems that the entire industry faces are still unresolved. The core of the problem, it seems to be, was that LendingClub had too much supply coming in and not enough demand on the other side, not enough places to put all these loans. And I think that could have encouraged the sort of corner cutting, which apparently happened here.
All right, Ben McClanahan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Austin.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy the FT's Banking Weekly. You can find this every Tuesday at ft.com/podcasts.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.